Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So, folks, just as authorities in the U.S. and China increased their law enforcement efforts to tackle the problem of fentanyl, it seems as though producers have now moved to a different drug. And here to talk to us about it is John Clayton, Assistant Special Agent in charge of the Birmingham District Office of the New Orleans Division of the DEA. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. I read this article the other day. I didn't know it could get any stronger than fentanyl, but obviously nitazine, they talk about this particular drug being 20 to 43 times stronger than fentanyl. Tell us about it.
That's right. It's a synthetic opioid like fentanyl and made in a lab. And so it was developed back in the 50s, but abandoned by medical use due to the high risk of addiction and overdose. And with these nitazines, they're consumed, mixed in with fentanyl, mixed in with other drugs. And the problem we're having is the analogs. And so this is because it's made in a lab, they can change it. And so trying to make sure that we're staying ahead or at least even with these changes to this drug, through public service announcements, temporary emergency scheduling of these analogs, so that we can use all of our efforts to combat this kind of a new problem.
Is it time that we change our approach to this? Because if you change one ingredient, the analog, if you would, in layman's term, is kind of the fingerprint of the drug, right? And if they change one curve of one portion of that fingerprint, it's a whole different drug for purposes of enforcement and identification of same.
Yes, sir. It's difficult because of these changes, and we work with our partners to try to stay even with it and identify these changes as soon as we can and get them under the Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substance Act.
Where are we starting to see nitazines right now in this country?
It started in, California, New York. I think the article you're referencing, they were talking about Long Island, New York. I believe Tennessee has seen this. And across the country, it's starting to become more prevalent.
Now, when we first started to see fentanyl, we would find individuals that would take the drugs intravenously before they even pushed the entire syringe. They were dead. If this is 20 to 43 times more stronger than fentanyl, this is like in the same category as what is it called? Cartenafil?
Carfentanyl? Yes, it is.
Carfentanyl.
Yes, sir. And this the nitazines, carfentanil, is stronger than fentanyl, and so obviously that causes a huge problem. And as people consume these drugs, they develop tolerance, which can I don't want to say help with that a little bit, but they're able to take in the higher, stronger drugs, and but eventually it is going to end poorly. It's going to end in death.
We're visiting with John Clayton, Assistant Special Agent in charge of the Birmingham District of the DEA of the New Orleans Division. John, the response here that has actually saved a lot of lives of folks that had drugs tainted with fentanyl was the utilization of Narcan and the distribution and deployment of same. This article that I was reading said that these compounds are incredibly resistant to Narcan, and in fact, it may take multiple doses, because of the potency. Right now, because of the potency of some of the fentanyl we're seeing on the streets, I've talked to officers that have injected people with 3 and 4 syringes of Narcan in order to bring them back. I can't imagine, deploying 6 to 8, to save someone.
That's right. It is scary, but it does still work. So you still absolutely want to still deploy that Narcan, naloxone, as soon as you identify someone that's potentially being affected by these drugs, and then getting them to the next level of care. That's important as well. But definitely the naloxone, the drugs are resistant to it, but it still works. So you still want to administer that as much as you can until you get to that next level of care.
Let's talk about the danger for you guys. You come in contact with these synthetic opioids. It's immediately absorbed through the skin, and if you breathe some of the airborne residue of this, it can kill you as well, right?
It can. We go through specialized training. We have what we call hazardous environment training. We have our personal protective equipment. And so we have that at our disposal. We have the training to go along with that. We also try to work with our local partners on that training and that information, getting the information pushed out to law enforcement at all levels to try to make sure everybody is safe when having to deal with this stuff.
Not unlike fentanyl, it seems that we've been able to somewhat isolate where this is coming from, and all fingers are pointing towards China.
That's right. The precursor chemicals coming from China to make these compounds and these drugs being shipped to Mexico, where they're put together and then distributed over into the United States. And so that is definitely a problem. We, again, with our federal partners, are working on making sure that we identify those who are responsible and hold them accountable in any way that we can. And so we have cases across the country with all of our federal partners against those that are peddling this drug.
The changes down at the border, and I'm not sure whether or not you can opine on this, of what we've experienced here recently, has that changed the culture of the importation or the of drugs from Mexico into our country?
Well, I know they change up their methods constantly, and so when one area becomes difficult to move their poison through, then they will find other ways to do it, and that is one of the things that we focus on, is trying to make sure we identify those new modes and methods that they use to be able to combat and stop them from whatever they try to get their drugs and poison into this country.
A lot of other countries utilize the network of Mexican cartels to get their drugs into our country. It seems as though some of the interdiction efforts, in particular with Venezuela and maybe Colombia, have changed. Are they trying to come directly in now?
Well, like I said, they will look for any way they can try to get it here. And we working with all the partners, federal, local, and state partners. We develop intelligence and we identify those methods, and we move to stop them. However they try to get their drugs into this country.
And one of the reasons I wanted you to come on is just awareness for everybody. You buy stuff out on the street, you don't know what's in it. And if nitazine's in it, not unlike some of the other synthetic opioids, fentanyl to be included, this is Russian roulette at its best, right?
You're 100% right. And if you do not go to a licensed physician and a prescribed medication and go to a licensed pharmacy and get your drugs, if you try to get anything from anyone other than those legitimate avenues, you're taking your life in your own hands. This stuff is everywhere. These people do not work in pharmaceutical grade laboratories, so you have cross contamination. So you have no idea what you're getting when you go outside of the normal and legitimate process of getting medication that you might need. So it is absolutely, you can't trust anything outside of that.
You know, not that we had our hands around fentanyl, but, you know, we learn more about the impact, the effects on society at large. And when you feel like you're beginning to make some gains in the interdiction the same and education the same, the whole thing changes with a new drug. It's got to be a little frustrating.
It can be. It can be. That's what we do. That's what we train for. We try to look for any developing trends, look for anything that may be coming across the horizon and try to get that information out to the public and to our partners. And, you know, it was like xylazine. Xylazine was something that came on getting mixed with fentanyl. It is not an opioid, so Narcan doesn't work against that. But, again, it gets mixed with all kinds of different drugs, but especially if it's an opioid, you still want to use the naloxone on that, a Narcan. So, we see these things come out, they change, and that we just have to be ready for that change and looking for it before it happens.
Well, let me just say thank you for your service. Thank you for all that the DEA does. We appreciate the efforts, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you letting me get this message out.
Thank you, sir. John Clayton, Assistant Special Agent in charge of the Birmingham District Office, is part of the New Orleans Division of the Drug Enforcement Agency. We will be right back, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Stay with us. Folks, I can tell you that in my circle of friends, I think I was the only person that watched the entire game from beginning to end. I don't know of anyone else in my circle that stayed to the bitter end, and I got to imagine it was a similar experience for many of you. Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, I don't even know what to say. It was not good. It was bad.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that if you did turn it off, you didn't miss much. it was unpleasant. I mean, I don't know if I've ever witnessed a game where I felt like it was over. I mean, not, I've seen games like this, but not for the Saints in terms of it felt like it was over 6 minutes into the game. You look up, you blink, and it's 21-0. Like, if you got stuck in traffic going to your watch party and you got there 20 minutes late, I mean, you look up at the score and you're like, well, what happened? It just kind of unraveled from the start. It's like the third consecutive game the Saints' opening drive just didn't go right, you know, and that they got aggressive at midfield, which I don't disagree with, turned it over, and then special teams. Like the reason that game felt impossible to win was because of the special teams debacles that just kept hitting and hitting and hitting. You watched a game with a 95-yard punt return touchdown, a blocked punt, and this is back-to-back punts, and a 60-yard kickoff return. You also had a missed 52-yard field goal, which, you know, at least it wasn't a 37-yarder. I guess, like, when you miss from 50-plus, you can at least justify it, but it's still like, man, you're kicking the field goal in a 30-point game and you're missing it. Like, it was just frustrating. And, you know, you knew that was a possibility when you go out to Seattle. It's a difficult environment, your first road game, and you're going to one of the most difficult road environments you can find. And they just didn't handle it well. The biggest issue with this game is not necessarily that it happened. Like, I think the hypocrisy of people talking about this game is, like, I went into this season saying 4-13 is my record prediction, so I can't sit here and be stunned that they're looking like a 4-13 team, because that's what they looked like yesterday. But you kind of look at it and say, man, this happening this week is brutal, because the only thing you can do is come back and regroup and play better. But the problem is you got to go right back out on the road and play what is probably the best team in the NFL right now, the reigning MVP, this Super Bowl favorites out in Buffalo. And, you know, this only gets worse if you go out there and you play the same way. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is like, man, like, I didn't expect them to go out there and win this game, but I did expect them to go out there and be competitive with the Seahawks. And if you weren't able to do that this week, what's going to happen next week? And here's the thing, like, 44-13 looks bad, but then you consider they took out their starters early in the fourth quarter. Drew Locke played the fourth quarter of that game. It could have been way worse. So, no, that's definitely they referred to it as a chin check, you know, a gut check. Like, it's hard for a season to go off the rails in week three, but man, like, if you don't kind of claw your way back to competitive football from this and do it quickly, it could get ugly.
Well, you know, the thing is that for the most part, our special teams play has been fairly solid. And then all of a sudden to have this experience, right? And then we've been saying, thus far this season, that defense is our strong point. We got manhandled on the line. I mean, it was, you know, Darnold had more time than you ever want to give any quarterback, right? Although they didn't run for a lot of yardage, but, and they didn't really throw. They threw half the time we threw. We threw the ball 41 times. They threw it 21 times. But their average per pass was 11.1 yards. I was 4.8. Yeah. You know, so they're racking up yardage in a much more condensed way than we are.
Yeah, I would actually argue that special teams has been an issue throughout the first three games. It just hasn't been quite as pronounced as this one. But, I mean, you've missed short field goals each of the first 2 weeks. You haven't really broken any returns whatsoever. You know, you had a punt from the 41-yard line in week two that went into the end zone that netted you 21 yards. Like, there have been a lot of missed opportunities on special teams. You just haven't had kind of the egregious breakdowns that you saw in this game. And you look at, hey, you cut JT Gray, you cut a team captain going into the season. You wanted to play young guys. Well, what's the consequence of doing that? You know, this unit that as long as I can remember has been, hey, we talk about the Saints as one of the special teams standouts in the NFL, and that's what helps them win games. Now it's what's costing you games. And when you're not a team that's playing with very, very wide margins, with the Saints, you could argue have no margin whatsoever, that's going to lose you games all the time if you can't get that sorted out. So it's not Phil Galliano, like, you know, he's in his first year. There's going to be some stumbling points, I think, but you can't be thrilled with what you've seen out of that group right now, and that's going to land on him. As far as the offense, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to watch. You know, I think you've come into this season with a really competitive game plan, in part to protect your offensive line. And in this game in particular, you had two rookies in there and another backup, right? You had Calvin Banks on the left side, who I think had his roughest game in a predictable scenario. You know, you go out there, the noise is crazy. You had two false starts and a holding penalty. You have Torricelli Simpkins starting a UDFA at left guard. You have Austin Richards starting at right tackle, a guy that showed up right before the start of the season and had never played right tackle before. But even by those standards, like, the conservative offense is getting a little tiresome. You know, you have all these speedster wide receivers and you can't get any yak. You can't get anyone in the open field. Chris Olave had 10 catches for 57 yards. Those are running back numbers, right? Like, if I threw Alvin Kamara the ball 10 times and he got 57 yards, I'd be like, well, okay, he's catching the ball at the line of scrimmage. Chris Olave is not supposed to be averaging 5.7 yards a catch. That's not what something's got to change. And you flip it over and you look at it and you just see Seahawks receivers running free all day long. There's no one within 5 yards of them. At least it felt that way when you're watching it, when I was watching it from field level. And so why can't the Saints find that? Now, I think what they would say is, hey, they're playing over the top. They're up 20 points. Like, they're not going to give you any deep shots. But the logic would be, hey, you should be able to find some people running free underneath, and you're not finding that either. So there's just nothing went right yesterday. And I actually think, you know, it's easy to lose perspective on the fact that the first 2 weeks, I think they played pretty well. They were competitive. They were in these games. This is the type of game that a lot of people predicted for this team. And so it's easy to just erase all the good they did in the first 2 weeks and only focus on this game. But that's the thing. It's a what have you done for me lately league. Like, this is your last game is how you're going to be remembered. And right now they're remembered as a team that just can't execute in any phase of the game, makes bonehead penalties. This is their second game in 3 weeks. They've had 10-plus penalties. They have the most – they're tied for the most penalties in the NFL. They have 31 accepted penalties in 3 weeks. You cannot average 10 penalties a game and win football games. So, no, it's just at every level they're just not – they did not compete against the Seahawks, and it's not going to get any easier against the Bills.
I'm reminded by a texter, and he's right. You know, he said, the text says, Newell, I'm sick of hearing about how tough playing in Seattle would be. They had a 3-7 record at home prior to yesterday. They haven't had a great homestand record, you know, towards the end of last season and obviously, the beginning of this season. But overall, where would you put Seattle, like, as it relates to the quality of the team? Are they similarly situated to what the Saints are, and what was the outlook for them this year?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer at this stage. I wasn't really sure going in what they were going to look like. I thought they looked kind of sketchy in week one against the 49ers. They came out last week on the road and kind of put them on the Steelers. Like, they came from behind and won that game by 2 scores. So, you know, it's a team that has weapons. You know, Kenneth Walker is a really good running back. You know, the Saints kind of bottled him up. That's the crazy thing. You look at the stat sheet in that game, and you're like, wow, the Saints dominated the time of possession. The Seahawks couldn't run the ball, and yet you look up, and they lost by 31 points. It was a bizarre game, and that's what happens when you lose the special teams battle. And, you know, you talk about the environment out in Seattle. You know, I think there was some discontentment going into that game. A lot of Seahawks fans were frustrated with how the team had played at home. Then you allow a 95-yard punt return, and suddenly, you know, this kind of sketchy environment that had lost a little bit of juice is at a 10. And that's when everything really started to come unglued for the Saints on offense. And so I don't know, like Sam Darnold, I thought had a really strong game, but I think part of this is the Saints are just making opposing quarterbacks look incredible right now. I mean, Mac Jones is still Mac Jones. The Saints just made him look like the Pro Bowl version of Mac Jones from his rookie season. Kyler Murray, you know, I don't think he had the strongest game, but he did more than enough. And I think that's what it's about right now is the Saints defense that I thought had a chance to be pretty good. They just can't cover anybody right now. They can't pressure the quarterback. And when you can't do either of those two things, you're going to get picked apart. Sam Darnold went 14 for 18 for, what, 218 yards, two touchdowns. He had like 152 quarterback rating. Yeah, it's almost perfect. It's hard to tell who is good in the NFL after 3 weeks. I would argue that it's impossible to tell other than the teams that we know were good from last year coming in and look a lot similar, like the Bills and the Ravens and teams like that. But right now, I think this is a lot more about the Saints than it is anybody else.
And we now go to Buffalo, and they played, what, a Thursday night game? Is that right, last week?
Yeah, so yeah.
They have the benefit of 10 days.
Yeah, as if they needed any more of an advantage in that game. Right?
I mean, can it get any worse? I mean, well,
the Saints, you know, there's a chance they cover. It's a 16.5-point spread. So if you've been dying to lay some money on the Saints, maybe this is your week. But, hey, if someone had told you before yesterday's game, I'll give you 30 points in the Saints. What are you gonna bet it? You lost that bet. So, hey, I don't know, man. But here's the thing. Like, Kellen Moore, this is a very important, you know, you don't want to say there's a critical moment 3 weeks into his head coaching tenure. But how you respond to this game is important. You don't necessarily have to go up to Buffalo and win. It would be fantastic if they did. I'm not going to tell you to bet on the money line, but you have to go up there and put on a better showing, right? We saw the Dolphins do the same thing. They went up there, their team that's 0-3, and they at least competed. And that's what you can't do if you're Kellen Moore and you're the Saints. And it's like, you're undermanned. You're not going to be favored in a lot of these games. But you have to at least compete. You have to. You can't play this team like you're Southeastern going against LSU, because that's what it looked like. It looked like the type of game that a college team would get a big check for, because they're going out knowing they're going to get rolled, and they're just like, at least we're coming away with something. This is the NFL. You're all professionals here. You can't look that far away from being a competitive team and expect your fans to stick behind you. So they just, like, I don't know what it's going to look like. It just absolutely cannot look like it did in week three.
The Saints fans are resilient. They're tolerant, as you point out, if you're competitive. But part of the thing is, like, for next week, in my view, and I'd love to get your reaction to this, you got to be down into five penalties, not 11. I mean, so when you add that to the picture, you know, that gets really frustrating for people. And, you know, and then we have some stupid penalties, right? Like, we headbutt somebody. I think it was Breezy that did. And it's like, really, guy? Read the room.
It's just stuff you can't have happen. And, you know, like, I'll give some grace to the young guys, right? Like, there was one drive where you had, I think, four penalties on six plays, and two of them were on the rookie left tackle who left early. One of them was on the UDFA guard. Another one was actually, no, that was Olave. Olave keeps getting called for these illegal motion penalties. Like, those are, I'm a lot more critical of your third year, fourth year player. You got to get that right. And then you have a hold on the backup right tackle. Like, those are the penalties where you're like, well, we don't want those guys out there because, you know, we want the starters out there. And so I'm hopeful that you'll get Trevor Penning back at left guard. I talked to him after the game. He was available in an emergency capacity, but he's hopeful he gets the all clear this week. This week of practice went well for him. He was limited, so hopefully that helps you out. Kali Fuaga, I think I don't expect his absence to be long, but I think there's going to be a question for this week. Hopefully you can get him back out there, and I do think that helps you from a penalty perspective, from an execution perspective. But there's just nothing you can do about, hey, this is just a bonehead play from a guy that you trust. I mean, the only he can fix that, right? Like, there's nothing you can do as a team to correct, you know, just a bonehead play. And that's what that is. And it really set the tone for the entire game, right? Like, the defense goes out and gets a stop on the first drive. Like, the Saints put them in a bad situation. They got a stop. And then you turn that into a touchdown with just a mind-numbing type of penalty, and it just can't happen. It just absolutely can't happen. And, you know, like, it's not necessarily the number. It's when they're occurring and how damaging they are. You know, like, that was the 11th time in 3 weeks when that happened that the Saints did not get off the field after forcing a 3rd and 7 or longer. And the funny thing is, they actually were good on 3rd down in that game. I think Seattle converted, like, what, 2 3rd downs the entire game. They didn't need them. You know, they were just 30, moving wherever
33% efficiency, 3 of 9. Saints were 5 of 15. Same average.
Yeah, again, if you just look at the stat book for that game, you would think it was very competitive. It was not.
Yeah. Your thoughts about Kellen Moore's comments after the game?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit there. What was that?
I said your thoughts of Coach Moore's comments after the game.
Yeah, you know, I am interested to see how this week goes for this team. And, you know, one of the questions I have is whether, you know, his temperament works when you need to just be scorched earth on some people. Because I think that's what you got to be after a game like this. Like, you can't just be like, oh, we're going to get it sorted out. We're going to fix some people's feet to the fire. And, you know, I don't know what Kellen's like behind the scenes. All we get is the press conferences and the interviews. And so that's kind of my question is, I hope that this is a kind of a duck floating on the surface kind of situation. There's a lot more happening underneath because, you know, you do get kind of the same press conference answers. I do agree with him. Like, you know, this is not a situation where you just kind of go and smash the tape in the backyard and bury it. Like, you've got to go through this and figure it out and get stuff fixed. And we'll see. Again, this is kind of the first, in my opinion, like, really difficult coaching situation that he's running into, in that, you know, you're competitive in the first 2 weeks, and even in losses, you can take positives out of it and say, hey, we're building on this, we're going to fix this. In this case, it's just, you had mistakes, you had missed assignments at all three phases. Like, people have to be held accountable, and it's just on him whether he's going to be able to do that or not. And I'm not going to say he can't, but, you know, when you talk to Sean, like, there was no question in my mind, like, okay, this is a guy who can hold people accountable behind the scenes. We don't know yet. We haven't seen Kellen do that. I don't know how much he's had to do that in his previous coaching stops. And that's going to be a big question, is whether that part of his coaching temperament can land with this group.
I said this morning, you know, in talking to some folks about the game, I will say this. I don't think they gave up. I think there was still effort in the fourth quarter, and that's hard, right? I mean, because, you know, even if everything went perfect and you were doing everything, you know, to the T, the outcome's already determined at that point in time. And I thought they were still hitting. There was still effort out there, which is the silver lining that I take away from the game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the minimum you could ask from an NFL team, is to still try. But at the same time, like, the reason it's important is that it is the minimum. Like, if you went to that second half and you just had a bunch of guys, like, getting in fights and looking like they were loafing around out there and they weren't hitting and they weren't playing hard, that would be a huge red flag, right? The ultimate red flag. And I don't think you saw that. I do think they went out and they competed. You know, and that's a tough situation, right? Like, these guys know the game is effectively over. You know, I still don't like kicking field goals from the 5-yard line when you're down 35 points at the end of the first half. But, hey, you know, I guess they wanted to put some points on the board. I don't know. But I agree with you.
You needed something positive to happen. You know?
That's what Kellen said. I disagree with it. I would have loved a touchdown. But, you know, but I do think that, yeah, that does show positively that, you know, this team isn't just letting go of the rope. Like, everything went as horribly as it could, but they were still going out there. They were still fighting. Like, because that's what you look for, right? You look for guys who are just like, hey, do you want your job or not? Right? Because that's what that second half was about. It was about who wants to keep their jobs. And I don't think that I didn't identify anything that told me, like, oh, this guy shouldn't be out there.
As one of the members of my Breakfast Club pointed out this morning, we won the second half 7-6.
Honestly, Jack Stoll is the hero of that game because he got them into the end zone. I'll give it to him.
Absolutely. As always, we truly appreciate you joining us this morning because I know you had a late night. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great week.
For sure, Noel. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want to thank everybody that has reached out to their Congress folks about the AM radio for every vehicle act. I've heard from a number of members of Congress that they have been receiving calls with raising the concerns about the future of AM radio. You will recall that this issue is about interference of the AM signal in EV vehicles because of some of the way that the technology works. And there was this move afoot to eliminate AM radios and the requirement of AM radio to be in an electric vehicle. Well, the AM radio for every vehicle just passed out of the Energy and Commerce Committee, it passed on a vote of 50-1, and it now moves to a House floor for vote. But at the very last moment, they amended the bill to have it sunset after 8 years. Now, I don't know what they think is going to change in 8 years as it relates to the importance of AM radio, and especially in the event of a disaster, a natural disaster, when folks are going to other parts of the country and, you know, staying there, waiting to see what a hurricane, for example, is going to do. And with that evacuation process, a lot of times you lose power. People lose power here. There's no communication. It's hard to find out what is actually happening. And they turn to AM radio because AM radio, the manner in which the technology is deployed, can be very costly. These towers are energized from top to bottom. That's how you get to 50,000 watts. That's how you're able to hit 13 states during the day and maybe 30 states at night, depending on atmospheric conditions. And that's why it continues to be critical infrastructure in the communication in this country. So I'm not sure what they thought this eight-year sunset was actually going to do. But let's just think about it for a moment. Who makes investments and improves in tower sites, tower locations, things of that nature on the AM band, knowing that there's a sunset in the protection of AM in 8 years? Like, nobody, right? Because you're not going to get the return on your investment. And so this doesn't make sense from any perspective at all. Now, there's a Senate version of this, and so Senate Bill 315, and folks are saying that this bill is much better, sir, to the American public and what you're looking for AM radio coverage and being able to dial in. You know, we have folks that text in to this show all the time, listening on the AM dial all over Southeast Louisiana. Many folks notify us that they're in South Dakota and they're listening in their car on AM radio, not over the internet, on AM radio. And depending, again, as I said, the atmospheric conditions, you're able to pick up that signal. So, again, we're still having a hard time with folks figuring out, look, the automobile industry lobby is a strong one. Our radio listeners need to be stronger for the future of AM radio going forward. And we thank you for standing up for AM radio thus far. And we ask humbly that you continue to do so and ask you to let your congressional members to support the Senate version as opposed to the House version at this juncture. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. The Fed cuts 25 basis points. So what's next? We'll talk about the French budget battle, because there's a lot of similarities to what's going on here in this country. The possibility of a government shutdown. We'll talk about retail. A San Francisco mall loses 85% of its value. And finally, we'll talk about who is eligible for no tax on tips. And we'll talk about some other issues as well in dealing with both international, national, and local economy. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, when we return. This is Newell on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.